This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back. It's Recovery Sort Of, the podcast where we explore the struggles of life, the challenges of mental health and recovery, and the spaces between. We express our personal views on life here, and this podcast is not meant to replace medical advice or tell anyone the right way to live. This podcast is best used as a place of curiosity and questioning to accompany you on your journey. Be aware there is strong language. Here we go. Hey, Billy.
Hey, how you doing, Jason? Good to see you.
It's good to see you. I'm doing good. I'm working on realizing that I have operated from a place of expectations and obligations in my parenting and in my husbandry and in my being a son and a friend and everything. Like, I can remember at times earlier on in my life looking at people who had kids, maybe while they were using, you know, substances, and they hadn't taken good care of them. And then they would come into the recovery process, and I would watch them, you know, find some recovery. But their interactions with their kids, I would hear this dynamic of like where they would overcompensate by buying all these gifts for their kid to try to make up for the lost time or the ways they had treated them. And like, it was easy to see from that place before I had kids. I was like, obviously this is what you should do in this situation. and like realizing in my life, there's some of that going on in some other ways in different levels, and catching those patterns of where I want to be mad at people, but understanding a little bit of being able to reflect on my role in all this stuff. So all this came about, I was interacting around my house. We had a week where our normal babysitting crew of grandparents wasn't available for us, and we needed some help from our older kids. And so they helped us out. It was wonderful. But then like 2 days in a row, one of my kids came to me and asked me for a favor that evening after they had watched, you know, their younger siblings for us. And it just didn't feel good. Like, it didn't feel good to feel like the favor that had just been done for me was being weaponized against me to manipulate me to have to give my kid what they were asking for in return. And on the second night in a row that this happened, like I had already happened to come upon my own struggle to say no to my kids, because my kid was asking, the favor was to borrow something of mine that I didn't really want to loan out, but I feel I'm obligated to in my role as dad somehow. And right. So like this whole thing, like my initial frustration when it happened was not the reaction I would hope to have. I was like, if this is how it's going to operate, don't do me no more fucking favors, you know, because there was something in me that said there needs to be a line here. Like, this doesn't feel good for me. And so it stepped up kind of grumpily and angrily and set that line in that moment. And, you know, my daughter got mad at me and we didn't talk for a few days, but it gave me time to not try to fix it and to sit with it some and see what was going on there. Like, what's happening? Why do I need to be frustrated? And what can I do different in my relation with her to not be there anymore? And trying to figure out exactly what I'm asking for, right? Am I being unreasonable? Like, did she do me a favor and maybe I should just like acknowledge that and do her a favor back? Or do I already, like, there was another part of me saying, you already do her enough favor. She's 18 and you'd like take care of all this other stuff for her. And like, you know, how is she going to feel if I say something like that? And all these things. So I see you got something to say. Go ahead. I've been talking enough.
Immediately, that's okay. In our house, I guess we refrain from this idea of doing favors for each other. Like, cool. That's not a thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
We help each other and support each other and those things because we love each other and we're a family and that's what we do for each other.
Dude, that's so fucking cool.
It's very different. Like, I can do a favor for a friend because that's not sort of the expectation.
Right,
but
right.
In the household, I think we just operate on the expectation that if you can help in an area that someone needs help, you're kind of expected to help. And there may or may not be some rewards for that. I mean, right. Certain things like you know, the older girls, like, they get an allowance because they help out with certain things around the house.
Right.
Our oldest daughter does a lot of taking, you know, my son around different places and running errands for us. But when she starts to, like, I don't know what you want to call it, like, complain or buck on some of that stuff, it's like, well, hey, we have this relationship where this is our expectation. It's right. not, you know, it's not favor for favor. This is the expectation that you're not in a full-time job right now and we are supporting you and paying for your car and your phone and giving you an allowance.
Yeah.
And so when we need things done, there's an expectation that you're supposed to do it. We're not asking you to do unreasonable things.
Right, right, right. Yeah,
and
cool.
So, yeah, the idea of, like, I guess in our household, we don't look at it as favors like that.
Well, that's cool. So I've had a few weeks to sit with this, and where I got to was extremely similar to that concept. Where I ended up coming back to my daughter was, one, I acknowledged that I struggle to say no, and because of that, that amps up and dysregulates my nervous system in that moment. So when she asked to borrow that thing, and I got a little paralyzed feeling like I didn't have the choice to say no, especially when she's throwing the favor she just did for me in my face. It felt like to me. That was my part, right? I need to know where my line is and just be able to say no and trust that people are going to be able to deal with that however they feel about it. So I acknowledge that and I apologize and I'm getting better with that, right? This is a piece of reevaluating where my line is. And so this situation actually helped me greatly because now I know I don't feel that obligation anymore in some areas, right? I don't think that just because I have a car and my kid has a license, that means they get to use my car. Like, I drive my car a certain way as to not use it very much so that I don't have to repair it one day sooner or, you know, buy a new one day sooner. And, like, every time my daughter uses that car to joyride or whatever, however she wants to use it, like, that makes that day closer. And on that day when I'm writing that check, she ain't going to be there. Right? So, like, I need to decide what's right for the use of my car and how it gets used. And I just need to be okay with that. And if you want a car, go fucking work for one. Like, I don't know what to tell you, you know? And, like, that's been freeing to feel like I don't have this obligation of just because I decided to own stuff, I must let anybody use it. And really just got me thinking a lot, like, my relationships with my friends. Like, what am I in relationships with friends for? What do I need them for? What do they need me for? How do we relate and use and share with each other? Mm. And, like, we don't ever use each other's fucking cars. I mean, under some extreme circumstances, sure, I could see it happening with some of my close friends. But, like, that's not what we do. It's not about each other's stuff, really. It's about sharing connection and, like, care about each other. And so that's what I wanted my relationships to be. So where I got to get back around to it, I know I'm long-winded today.
It's really. Okay. You just took me into a way another place I'm going to bring up in a minute.
So cool. So where I got to was, I don't do any favors for people in my household. What I come in and do for my household and where I spend 90% of my fucking life is making money and doing things that make my household a more comfortable environment for the people I love and the people around me.
Right.
I do pay some of the bills that keep the electricity and the Wi-Fi, and I got to go to work all week to do that. So, like, I work hard to keep these people comfortable and hot water and air conditioning and, like, you know, the dishes are done and the laundry gets done and all these things. And, like, none of that is favors, and I don't ask for shit back, to be honest with you. That's what I do because that's who I want to be in the world.
Yeah, and I believe, like, for me, I learned that in recovery, and it came from the idea of, like, don't lend money you're not willing to lose.
Yeah.
It's the same with my time right. and my energy yes. and what I'm going to do for other people. It's like if you ask me to help you with whatever, something at your house or because I'm handy or whatever, I make the decision when I do it that I'm not going to hold that against the person or have an expectation of any kind of return.
That's so beautiful.
I do what I can do when I can do it.
Right.
The freedom in that is the ability to say no to things and not feel guilty about it. Because if when I do things, I do them because I can and I'm willing and I want to and I'm able. And when I can't, I can't.
Right.
And I don't feel a guilt yeah. about that.
Yeah, like, no, it's freeing as hell. It's freeing as hell. So that's what I approached my daughter with. I apologized. I said, look, this is what I do because this is who I want to be in my life. This is what feels good to me to treat the people around me like this and spend most of my time generally right. trying to improve and keep them comfortable.
Yep.
What you want to bring to the house from now on, you bring to the house, but I'm not operating on a system of favors anymore.
Right.
So it's very similar. Like I do think on my end, like for yours, you're saying like, these are expectations and I'm going to tell you that and try to hold you accountable to them. And like, I am too, but almost in a different way. Like my version is, if you can't keep up with your favors, mine are going to slow down. Yeah. You know, it's not yeah. so much like I'm going to keep mine and then try to hold you accountable. It's like, I'm going to show you what you don't get done for you when you don't do things for the house. Like, right. I don't know what else to say about it. So similar idea.
Yeah. And I think there's like helping other people just feels good, right? Yeah. Helping other people for the sake of helping people feels good.
Exactly.
And in our like family, especially for each other, like that's what we try to do. It's like if you need something, I will go out of my way to try to do it for you, not because I'm keeping a ledger or a chalkboard. And I think that was an issue for a lot of my marriage was that I did that a lot.
Right.
I'm like, well, don't you see this week I gave up, you know, this night with my friends and I didn't do this or I did this for you. And now when do I get mine back? Mm-hmm. And like keeping that like chalkboard of, you know, who's got more ticks on their side. And it didn't work and it didn't feel good.
Right, right.
Because my side always has way more ticks on it than anyone else's.
I see way more of my side.
You know, right? I'm not counting all of yours because some of yours you were supposed to do for me, you know, like that kind of shit.
I think Kim would say I did this. Either do or did or both or yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and so I really try to get away from that, you know, in my marriage, and then it became more obvious in other areas of my life as well. Like, you know, it's just I do what I can when I can because I want to, you know, but not out of some weird, you know, hopefully you're going to owe me later, you know, favor for favor thing. That feels like jailhouse stuff, you know.
It definitely does not feel like the way I want to relate to the people I love today.
Right.
But, I mean, this is my daughter, Billy, and I had a big hand in raising her. So I'm going to assume that the ways I modeled being, this is what I gave her. You know?
Yeah, I mean, it could be that.
In some level, like, this is the way I was operating with the world under I do favors and y'all do favors. And this is all the expectations we have on each other, and this is how it must be. And I don't know. I don't hold it against her. Like, I do think she got what she got from the environment she was raised in. But, like, yeah, it's just not where I want to be anymore. And it's been freeing to understand that, like, of course I need new fucking agreements with the people I'm in relationship with. I'm a new person. Like, I've changed drastically. I can't keep operating under old relationship agreements.
Yeah, and being able to, like, grow and change in our families and be who we are and like, be open about that stuff, you know. In our house, you know, I think with the kids, like I've gotten, at least in my head, you know, way more like patient and understanding and approachable, whereas those weren't things I would say that I was when they were younger. But just because it's that way in my head doesn't necessarily mean that's the way that they feel.
Right.
I think that they should sometimes. And having those conversations with them and being able to acknowledge like, hey, I recognize this is an area that I was doing this before, but I'm trying to be different now. I want to do something different. I recognize that wasn't that wasn't good for me, or that wasn't right for me. Mm-hmm. You know, with my kids has been interesting because, you know, most of us, I think, operate from that perspective of we think everybody sees things the way that we see things. Right. And I think that my changes are obvious and glaring to everyone around. And it's like they don't really notice all that much.
Yeah. You know, a good thing for this, I tend to shave my beard off every spring and nobody ever fucking notices. And it's such a drastic difference for me. It's like, God damn, y'all, you disappoint me. No, I think you're right. And like some of the stuff I'm really proud of is that like I gave this the space to not try to text my daughter or talk to her about it before I was ready, for sure, right? And when I did approach it, I approached it cautiously and I tried to acknowledge my parts in it. And I gave her space to like, I said, hey, the house I want to live in isn't a house where we got to separate and not be able to say what we're feeling. Like, I want you to know that like I'm inviting that. If you got some feelings about what's going on between us. And I texted her on the days we weren't talking and said, hey, it's a new day. I still love you and stuff like that. Like the whole time just coming from this place of the guy I want to be. And that's so freeing, man. It feels so good. And just to be able to say to her, look, this is all new. Like, I don't know either, right? I'm trying to figure it out as I go, but this is where I'm at right now. Hmm. This is where I feel like I'm at right now.
Like, yeah.
Can we try to work with that for now and see how it goes, you know?
Huh, yeah. And it was interesting. So what I was thinking about earlier, and I was like, oh, it, you know, I have a, I guess you'd call it similar-ish situation in my life with like sponsorship through 12-step stuff. Like I've always had this mentality of like, yeah, you know, people ask you to sponsor them and you kind of, you know, more or less just say yes. And then you just meet them where they're at. And if they want to do some stuff and call and all that's great. And if they don't, whatever, you know, I'm just here to help in whatever way.
Right.
And I've been reassessing some of that lately because for me, I've noticed like when someone asks me that question and I agree to do it, I am putting some expectations on myself. I am putting some obligations on myself. You know what I mean? And then when that's not reciprocated by the other person, but then they still hold me to those obligations almost. Mm. It's weird. And so it was a situation where this is a guy, I talked to him occasionally, not any more than anyone else, you know, so the sponsorship title is really just some fictitious loose title. Yeah. And then, you know, he was celebrating an anniversary. He's like, hey, are you going to come and give me my medallion and all that stuff? And then here I am going out on a night I didn't feel like going out, going to a meeting that really wasn't, you know, what I felt like doing that day and, you know, taking time away again from my family and my home life and whatever to go do some obligatory deed because I agreed to this relationship. And then I'm like, well, what is your end of this fucking arrangement?
Right.
What obligation do you have in this situation?
To call you and tell you the date.
Right. Not even. It was a text. But, you know, which makes it even less personal. But, and again, it's nothing to do with that particular person. It has to do with me. Like, I've always operated on those conditions. Mm. And it's not been any different.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So now if I want to change, you know, how do I want to go about implementing that change in my life? What do I want that to look like? How do I want that to be? Is that a specific question? I want to go sit down with a couple different guys and be like, hey, this is a situation, you know, I think I'm reassessing my role here and we need to make a decision because I'd rather just ditch this title and have no obligation to you. And then if we continue to have a friendship or a relationship, that's great. But this weird obligatory tit for tat thing seems odd. You know, I don't like it.
Okay. So how does it feel just picturing saying that to one of those three people or a few people you were thinking might need to have it? Like, what does it feel like to just picture yourself saying it to that person and then walking away from that conversation?
Well, I mean, my personality is I struggle with, I want everyone to like me all the time. I fear rejection. I don't want people to be angry at me or mad at me or displeased, you know, it's like.
I get it.
And so it feels very awkward and uncomfortable. It feels like they might not like me or be mad at me over the whole situation.
And am I?
Yeah.
I don't know. Things that make me angry usually inspire me to do something too. So maybe right. That's not terrible. Maybe they need to be mad at you.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Maybe that's part of their journey.
Yeah. And I hear people say things similar to that that sound really good. I mean, I see it, you know, my wife is way better at like setting boundaries and saying those things that are uncomfortable to say and all that stuff. And there's parts of that that I admire. There's also other parts that I'm like, oof, like that feels mean. Like that feels, you know,
right.
Hurtful. Like it feels almost the opposite of what we're talking about, because the truth is I gave up like an hour and a half of my time to go show someone some love and support that really cost me next to nothing. You know, well, so it's a, you know, and I'm trying to weigh that out as
right.
Well,
but think about what's the other side of that coin, right? Somebody like me could come in and play devil's advocate and say, is that the being pissed on, right? Are you enabling this person to continue to not look at their life and get closer to a fatal relapse by not, you know, holding them accountable to actually loving themselves and doing any of the self-searching work that'll create change in their life? So, like, would it be better for them to be pissed off than the pissing on you're doing?
Yeah, you know? That's
like,
the
that
tricky,
would be the counterpoint.
Right, right. And that becomes that, you know, I forget what, you know, there was a saying I heard recently about that, like, in recovery, it's like brutal honesty can sometimes save your life or, you know, something to that effect. And I can't remember the exact saying, but that was the premise of it is right. I'd rather be brutally honest and save your life than overly friendly and watch you die, you know? And
yeah.
It's like,
I think it pits it too much, too extreme.
Right,
like,
right,
there
right.
Can be, why does honesty ever have to be brutal? Like, why can't it always be compassionate honesty with grace attached of like, this isn't judgmental or critical, but like, this is what I see from this side. And you don't have to think, look, I might have bias. Maybe it's not true, but like, maybe ask other people you trust. Maybe they see the same thing. Like, that doesn't sound brutal, you know?
Yeah.
That just sounds like, hey, this is what I'm looking at, man. I love you, and I don't want you to miss it if it matters.
Yeah. I mean, if that's the truth.
It's your truth, it sounds right. Like.
Yeah.
You know, is it your truth? Is doing nothing a waste of time?
Well, I think in the case of the anniversary thing, it more has to do with now I feel inconvenienced out of an obligation. I don't know that it specifically has anything to do with fear of their well-being.
Yeah, it might not, but like,
I mean, I could say it in those words. Sounds nicer.
But right. What if we ignore the fear of their well-being? You know what I mean? What if we need to care more about these people that have asked us to care for them? That's what he asked for. He said, hey, can you show me how to care about me? Because I don't actually know how to do that.
Yeah.
And you're saying, sure, I'll show you how to care. I'll just wait till you call me. You know, like, I don't know. Maybe that's.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I think the biggest role of me helping people in therapy is the fact that I give a fuck.
Right.
You know, and there's a if you don't trust me, trust Irv Yalom, very famous therapist who says the same thing. Like,
right.
It's his relationship with the people that changes them. And like, I don't know. Wouldn't that be the same for all humans? It's a lot to think about, you know, and I have no idea what the right answer is. But I'll say this. The initial concern for me in my head isn't this person's well-being, because I've been in similar situations, you know, moved away from people. We don't talk much. A year later, it's their next anniversary, and here we are. And like, I know their mom, and she brings cake balls to every anniversary. And like, and I like this person. And at the same time, what am I going to talk about and share about them and their recovery over the last year?
Yeah.
That's what always gets me weird. Am I going to say, hey, yeah, honestly, I heard what you heard tonight. That's what they've been doing. You know, they haven't done any step work with me or nothing. Like,
I think for me, there's a weird subtleness to it all that has to do with, I look at a lot of, would we still be friends and continue a relationship if we didn't have this weird title on it? You know, and that comes up with that can come up with family. You know what I mean? Like, I have this, you know, relationship per se with my brother for the sake that he's my brother. But that's really it. If it wasn't for that, we probably would never talk, and we right. wouldn't go out of our way to see each other.
Right.
And am I okay with that? Like, is that worth it? Is it good? And being a person that struggles with, you know, that underlying feeling of like, well, no one really loves me. No one really cares about me. They only have some weird obligate. This is some weird obligatory bullshit that you're right. giving me, you know. Don't you want to just be friends with me for the sake of me? Like, would you call if you didn't have some reason that you had to? Mm. Like, that shit. So I'm always challenging those ideas of like, does anybody really like me? Mm. Do I really have any friends or people that care about me?
How do you challenge them?
What do you mean?
How do you challenge those ideas? Like, how do you go about challenging them?
Most of the time I just say, well, that's just like bullshit. Like, it's, you know, I have some relationships with people that aren't based on that. I right. do have some long-term relationships with people that are just friends. And some of it is like, well, what are these friendships and relationships? You know what I mean? They're just interactions that happen between people through the course of a life. And mm. some of them might be based on reasons, you know, and is that so bad?
I read this book 4,000 weeks a long time ago at this point, but like, he expressed the idea that you make a top 6 list of things that matter to you in your life, right? And then cross out the bottom 3. And like, his idea was that having more time for the most important things that actually matter to you, it makes a more content and happy life than trying to fit in these 10 things you enjoy, because it just takes away from the things you really enjoy way more at the top of your list. And so, like, I don't know, I kind of subscribe to that idea. And like, in a lot of ways, that's the way I try to guide my life, whether it's with belongings or anything, commitments. Like, I don't talk to family members like that you're describing. I have a half brother and a half sister, and I don't really talk to them at all, because that's the kind of relationship we would have. Like, we talk because we're obligated, obviously, because we don't talk because we don't feel obligated. And like,
right.
yeah, cousins, uncles, aunts, same thing. Like, I talk to the people that matter.
But within my own household, I'm trying to make those relationships matter.
What do you mean? You know what
I mean? Well, I want, like, I will tell my kids, like, this is your sister. Mm. Like, you're supposed to love and support and help her. You know what I mean? Mm. This is your brother. You're supposed to help him and build him up. And, you know, like, I want those values to exist in my household with my kids and with me.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm your parent. I love you, and I do all these things to support and guide you. And like, I joke with them all the time in a joking sort of serious way. I'm like, when I get old, please don't stick me in a home. I hope one of you guys is going to take me into your house. Like, I don't want to be in a fucking home.
Yeah,
I don't they laugh because they're like, you'll be out in the woods somewhere doing whatever you're doing. You're not going to be in a home.
Yeah, I don't want to do the home either.
But still, it's like, those are, you know what I mean? Like, so in one hand, I want my kids to have those values, but then I don't live those values in my life, because I do maintain a relationship with my sister, but she's close and it's convenient. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we get along now better than ever, you know.
I don't think we have anything in our DNA that allows us to want to keep relationship, or the ability to keep relationship with people we don't interact with every day. Like, there's nothing that has changed in our DNA over the last 15,000 years, and that is not how people existed, able to communicate with people that they don't interact with every day, because that was your whole clan.
Yeah.
So, like, it's like the idea of when I've been on job sites with people and we work out and we're like best buddies for like 8 months, and then in the construction world, you get sent to the next job site and you guys are apart and you don't talk, you don't call each other, you never see each other for a year or two, and then you're back on a job site and it's like you're back to working out every day. And it's one of those phenomenons. I don't think we're actually built as living creatures to adjust and accommodate to that, really.
Yeah, but that's where I guess I wonder, like, I hear those people, and of course judge myself by this standard of like those people that will say, oh yeah, I like talk or text my dad every day, and then we have lunch on Sundays, and you know, we get together once a week, and like, they feel like they're making time and taking the efforts to invest into those relationships. And I am not.
The point, though. Like, I think you're missing the big background story of that, Billy. Those people have worked those relationships into a place where they feel rewarding and they want to do that regularly. The relationships you have aren't those.
Right.
You know what I mean? Those are two, like, you're like beating yourself for not doing all this stuff that somebody's doing that they're getting benefits from. And yours is like crushing your soul as you try to do it because it feels so lopsided and all pressure on you. And like, I don't know. That doesn't seem very fair.
Yeah, that's true.
Have you found that listening to the Recovery Sort Of podcast has helped you in your day-to-day journey? Please share the message of compassion and well-being with the loved ones in your life. Connect with us more at recoverysortof.com, Facebook, Instagram, Threads, YouTube, and other social media spaces. And have a great week.